geek news, reviews, commentary, not just another podcast.
Out of the ordinary, the Big Ball Broadcast.
Go for Papa Palpatine.
You have a collect call from
Darth Vader.
Vader, how's my favorite Sith? Whoa, just slow down. Huh? What do you mean they blew up the Death Star? Oh, who's they? What the hell is an aluminum falcon? Okay, so who's left? Are you me? Well, where are you? Wait a sec, you've been flying around for 2 weeks trying to get a signal? Oh, you must smell like feet wrapped in leathery burnt bacon. I'm sorry, I thought my Dark Lord of the Sith could protect a small thermal exhaust port that's only 2 meters wide. That thing wasn't even fully paid off yet! Do you have any idea what this is gonna do to my credit? hang on, I got another call.
Now here comes your host, Kyle A. Barron of the World Team.
Welcome to the Big Ball Broadcast. This is episode 62, and my name is Kyle Abair. I'm a Los Angeles-based voice actor. You can hear me as Ganju and Aizen on Bleach on Cartoon Network and Dot Hack GU Part 2, available on the PS2.
This is your co-host of the world, Steve. I'm an anime journalist and webmaster of KyleAbair.com.
This week, Sam Raimi tells us the truth about Spider-Man 4. Hulk and Hellboy 2 casting news, plus another Frank Miller comic is coming to the big screen. Ad-supported MP3s. Oh my gosh. Speech synthesis software for anime announced. Geico's Caveman TV pilot. We talked about this on earlier shows. What's the buzz on that? All that and more on the Big Ball Broadcast. Otherworld Steve, how the hell are you?
Otherworldly. I work third shift. It doesn't get very entertaining with that kind of schedule.
So I went to a place called the Magic Castle in Hollywood, and it's an exclusive magic club / restaurant place. You can go and see like different magic acts and card tricks and everything. They got like 6 different rooms that can seat, you know, maybe 20, 30 people, and some of the bigger rooms hold like 100. And you just kind of rotate, go from room to room and see different magicians do their little acts and everything. Go to the bar, grab a drink, and I was just chatting with Spike Spencer, who plays Shinji on Evangelion, and we went to Bob Bergen, who's Porky the Pig, and we did some sort of meet and greet sort of thing that Bob Bergen does, and he talked about, oh, this is my friend Dave Cox, he's a magician, I do a magic show, you want to come to the Magic Castle, it's a really cool place, it's like, so yeah, so we did that, went to the Magic Castle. Dave Cox is a great magician, very, very funny, very entertaining. Had a grand old time, and I actually found a beer that I like. And if you guys know me, you know, okay, I'll drink, but I don't like beer because it's bitter. I like the frou-frou drinks, and I'm straight. I swear, I'm straight. But I did try, it's called Delirium Tremens. It's a Belgian ale, and it's kind of sweet, and that's why I like it. So I went to my local liquor store the day after the magic show, and bought me some DTs, and it's good, and that's what I'm drinking right now.
Now, we discussed this earlier, but I want to put you on the record here and now. I had asked you, when you pour it in the glass, do you also put in a little paper umbrella, and do you sip it with your pinky up?
Stop it! You're embarrassing me. I'm straight. I swear to God, I'm straight.
I, on the other hand, have a big bottle of Crown upstairs, but I'm being responsible because I'm still taking painkillers for my self-inflicted injury.
Ah, yes. And how is that toe of doom?
Doomed. It freaking hurts.
Has it, like, turned purple and black and fallen off yet?
I'm waiting for it to fall off. Relieve me of some of this. So, yeah, long story short, I'm just drinking coffee tonight.
We actually got some entries for the contest here. If you guys don't know, we're having a contest. Steve here has some Funimation DVDs. The winner of this contest will get to have their pick of one of these exciting titles. There's things like Speed Grapher, there's some Basilisk or Trinity Blood. Of course, I get first dibs at this, and I get to pilfer through it. Whatever's left, you guys can have now. But anyway, this is a cool contest. Since Otherworld Steve is going to be an Otherworld dad in the coming months, we came up with a contest, What is the Name of the Baby? Now, Steve, you announced the sex of the baby on the last show, which once again is a...
It's a boy!
It's a boy! Okay, so automatically, we have through the process of elimination, you don't need to worry about girl's name. Yeah, if you guys want to submit entries and take a guess at the first and middle name of Otherworld Steve's to-be son, please drop us a line at thebigballbroadcast@gmail.com. And remember, you also need to sign up for email notification on our Blogspot page. That's really, 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 really easy, and it's going to benefit you in the long run. If you're already subscribed, don't worry about it. But if you're not, go ahead and give it a try, because it actually will benefit you, because it emails you the second the new shows go up every week. I still say subscribe by iTunes, but most of our listeners still go to download directly off the page. So thank you for doing that. But send your entries in. We've got a couple of guesses here right now, Steve. You want to yay or nay them?
Let's tackle them.
All right. First up is Stacy, who says, "Hey, guys, so glad to be hearing more about the spawn of Steve. It's really exciting. So here's my contest guess. First name Caleb, middle name Steven. I'm probably nowhere close, but I thought it'd be worth a try. I'm expecting it to be something crazy, though, like a strange celebrity baby name or something. You know, since you guys are dedicating a whole contest to it. Thanks, Stacy." All right, Steve.
No! No!
Sadly, that answer is incorrect.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Stacy. Let's move on to Ken. Ken says, "Well, I'm going with Nathaniel Jones. Am I close?"
Not even in the ballpark.
Two losers, two losing entries. But I know we have more than two listeners just because of the feedback, a subscription list, and all that stuff. And I read the stats. I know you guys are listening. You're lurking. You're maybe not giving us feedback, but you're listening, and that's cool.
I will hold true to my word. And since we haven't had a correct guess on either the first or middle name, I will give the first hint. Well, you know what? Feeling the way I am right now, I will give two hints. Hint number one, the first or middle name is not Otherworld.
I would hope not.
Well, you never know. Like Stacy said, strange celebrity names. But the second hint is the middle name contains three syllables.
Ooh, okay. So how long should we do this contest? Because it may go on for the next 10 years.
Well, Becca is due this September, so we'll go on until either somebody gets it correct or she squirts out this beast of a child, and I'll just reveal the name then.
Oh, wow. You're just putting these awful, vivid images in my mind right now. Squirting out beasts? Oh, that's just wrong. Okay, well, once again, to send your guess for Otherworld Steve's baby, remember, it's a boy. You need to guess the first and middle name. Send your guess to thebigballbroadcast@gmail.com. And remember to go to our Blogspot page at bigballbroadcast.blogspot.com and sign up for the email notification. It's on the left-hand column. You got to scroll down a little bit. You'll see it. It's really easy. Let's continue to sort through the inbox here with some more feedback. Anonymous writes, yeah, you know you can leave feedback on our blog page. It gives you the chance to fill in a name. If you want your name read on the show, put a name. Otherwise, the blog will automatically generate anonymous, and then we can't credit you otherwise, and that sucks. I mean, come on. This is your moment to shine. Okay, anyway, Anonymous writes, "Excellent episode, guys. Congrats on episode 60. I can just imagine the poor bashing this child will receive later on." Now, this is in regards to the story about the baby named Metallica that was in Sweden, right? A couple wanted to name their the baby Metallica, and the government wouldn't let them?
That is correct. They're a six-month-old baby girl. Still nameless, as far as we know.
Ah, yes. And if it were a boy, it would be Metallico, right? So anyway, Anonymous says, "Well, keep it real, guys. By the way, what is that background music you guys played at the end? It was rather eerie, but I liked it."
Ooh, glad somebody liked it. Glad somebody caught it to begin with.
Well, yeah, because it depends on who's editing the show. For the longest time, I was editing the show, and I used Aeon Flux. Now, I think on episode 60, however, I think you did the edit on that one, Steve, and you injected something original.
I did. Actually, both episodes 59 and 60, the intros and the outros, it's all from the same group. All the lead in and lead out music.
And who are these strange individuals?
Let's see. Well, in the contest, we can guess the name. That is actually, it's my band. Well, not my band. It's the band I am currently involved with. We're actively recording, nice digital high fidelity, and those are some teaser tracks from our upcoming CD.
So hopefully we'll hear more in the future installments of the Big Ball Broadcast. Of course, we will plug your band, which is what, as yet unnamed at this point, yes?
I think we're going with the original name that got thrown out, and so far it's Perimeter of the Void.
Perimeter of the Void.
Kind of a combination of Tool and Rage Against the Machine. No, not really. But
wait a minute. That's bizarre.
You call it video game music.
I did. And I don't yes. mean that as a knock, because I like video game music. It gives you, you know, a jolt. It's cool. It moves. Plus, it just it kicks ass, and it's got this sort of electronica feel to it.
It's very heavy at moments, and it's very audibly serene, I like to say. It really breaks down into these really nice acoustic parts. The guitarist uses a really sweet acoustic 12-string guitar and really brings out some bright notes. And then it goes right back into the, you know,
Well, actually, I've got a sneak preview track here, thanks to you, Steve, of your band, Perimeter of the Void. And even though we're not a music podcast, this is a special occasion, since you are obviously the co-host of the show. We're going to debut a rough demo version of a song called Ground Pounder. And it's making its world debut here on the Big Ball Broadcast. If you like it, then eventually you will hear vocals on the final version, and we'll probably make a... You know, the whole album available here through PayPal, through the podcast. So check it out, Perimeter of the Void. This is called Ground Pounder. We'll be right back. Perimeter of the Void. The song is called Ground Pounder. That is a demo version on the Big Ball broadcast here, a little premiere. Now, eventually there will be vocals, and of course more songs from Perimeter of the Void will debut in the very near future, and hopefully we'll make the whole album available to our listeners as well. So give your feedback to thebigballbroadcast@gmail.com. We'd love to know what you think about Otherworld Steve's little side project here, Perimeter of the Void. Now back to the emails. Stacy writes, oh yes, Stacy. Stacy made a guest for the contest. She said a follow-up on the Devil May Cry information. The premiere date is June 14th. Hey, that's my birthday. This is in referral to the Devil May Cry anime, apparently. It's supposed to be made by Madhouse Studio, from what I understand are the same guys that made Death Note. That's all I know. Sorry. Well, hey, that's still some viable information there, Stacy, so thanks for passing that along. Obviously, Devil May Cry 4 is the next big installment in the series, and it's coming out, and everyone's really, really happy because it's not a PS3 exclusive. If you have a 360, rock and roll with your bad self, because that's probably what the system I'm going to get it on, even though I have a PS3.
My only concern here about a Devil May Cry anime being done by Madhouse is the fact that Madhouse also did Trigun, and something about, you know, Devil May Cry with the guy with the guns and the red coat and the spiky hair, you know, similarities.
No, I'm looking forward to Devil May Cry 4. Not only because it's a cool series, but I did some voices for it. So, yeah, a little personal attachment to the franchise there. Moving right along, we got another email from Anonymous. So, we don't know who this is from. So, remember, if you're going to leave a Blogspot comment, to put a name in there. Okay, anyway. Well, to be honest, I'm a huge Transformers fan. I love the new movie trailers. It's a fresh and new perspective on a classic. It sort of makes me sense why they gave it an organic alien feel. 300, on the other hand, it is an awesome movie, and I love how they took the dialogue, visuals, setting, and whatnot and made it accessible for today's movie viewers who don't exactly read that much. I've always loved the battle of that battle, and it was really nice to finally see it on the big screen. Well, keep it real, guys. Good luck out there. Yeah, there are a lot of big names that are hard to pronounce, but 300 is definitely eye candy. Transformers, I'm still on the fence about that. I'm afraid it's going to suck big donkey testicles, but I will admit the ILM effects look pretty good. You know?
Yeah, ILM claims it's the most effects-laden they've ever worked on with a film, the most intense effects to really blend the organic mechanics with a real background. But I don't know. I'll just stick to what I keep saying, my Transformers mantra. It's probably going to suck. It's probably going to be a bastardization from what we're used to, having grown up with the original animated series. But it will probably make an assload of money, and will probably warrant a sequel.
Oh, yeah. They're already prepping a sequel script right now, because they're already seeing dollar signs. So that concludes the email portion of the show. Once again, thebigballbroadcast@gmail.com. Send us your feedback, whether it's a question, a comment, or a story submission. We will credit you, of course. Unless you're anonymous, then you're going to feel bad as you're listening, going, oh, I forgot to put a name on the entry.
And we'll just laugh at you.
Let's move on to the big content of the show, starting with Hulk casting news. Now, despite the lackluster appeal of the 2003 movie adaptation from Ang Lee of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and Eric Bana, and even a drunken Nick Nolte couldn't save that movie. But Universal is trying yet again to make the big guy as big of a smash, haha, as a certain friendly neighborhood web-slinger. Now, they've already announced Edward Norton taking on the title role of Bruce Banner. That's good news. Ed Norton, good actor there. Liv Tyler will play Banner's love interest, Betty Ross. I almost said Betsy Ross, but no, she knitted the American flag. That's your history lesson for today, kids. Screenwriter Zach Penn has leaked that the villain is going to be a character from the comics called the Abomination, who will not be called the Abomination out loud in the film because, quote, it's a silly, silly name, unquote. The Marvel Comics version of Abomination was a Soviet spy who was turned into a Hulk-like green monster. Directing this new, hopefully avoided train wreck is Louis Leterrier of Transporter 2 and Unleashed. Look for The Incredible Hulk, the new version, in theaters on June 13th, 2008.
Here's hoping the movie doesn't take after the villain's namesake.
Yes,
Some more villain news here. Guillermo del Toro's Hellboy 2. Well, first of all, it's got a name, The Golden Army. And I guess the big news here is that Luke Goss has been cast to play the villain in the sequel. Goss played the main baddie, Nomak, in Blade 2. Goss will be playing Prince Nuada, who commands the army of dead creatures. And as for the other major characters, Ron Perlman will be returning as Hellboy, Selma Blair as Liz Sherman, and Doug Jones as Abe Sapien.
Woohoo! And you mentioned Doug Jones. You can see him as the Silver Surfer in Rise of the Silver Surfer or Fantastic Four 2, The Abomination. No, just kidding.
Can't wait to see that big old storm cloud at the end. Woo!
That's all right. Galactus. Oh, look, it's a storm cloud. Okay. Yucky.
It seems that Warner Brothers has picked up Frank Miller's next property to turn movie, Ronin. Sylvian White from Stomp the Yard is attached to direct and possibly script. And at the moment, they're working off a 15-page treatment that White wrote. The story centers around a reincarnated Ronin who returns in a semi-modern time populated with many nasties, including mutants and demons. So another Frank Miller project for us all to wait for with bated breath.
Now, you mentioned this person was attached as a director?
Director and possibly screenwriter.
Wow, okay, because, you know, we reported just a couple episodes ago that Frank Miller said that 300 would be the last property not directed by him.
This is very true. Maybe it was a concession on Miller's side that he probably isn't in a position yet to direct. I don't know. I guess as the movie gets closer to production, we'll hear more from Mr. Miller on that.
Yeah, I'm sure they probably are waiting on the return of the box office returns, rather, for Sin City 2, which, of course, he's teaming up once again with Robert Rodriguez. And, you know, after the abysmal failure of Grindhouse theatrically, you got to wonder. It's like, well, I don't know. Now, I loved Grindhouse, but, you know, maybe the studio made a big mistake by releasing a movie like that on Easter weekend. Little things.
If you haven't seen Spider-Man 3 yet, there's probably something wrong with you. As the world embraces Spider-Man 3 and all its Venom goodness, director Sam Raimi is already talking Spider-Man 4. Now, this quote directly from Raimi is that there will be a Spider-Man 4, and it's all about getting a script. And the feeling from the insiders at Columbia Pictures and other insiders is that Spider-Man will go on in film form, much like the Star Trek series, with or without this existing cast. And one person who says he will not be along for the next ride is legendary screenwriter Alvin Sargent. And he says, quote, it's time for someone else to do it.
Yeah, they've already changed some of the reins on the this Spider-Man 3. Like Danny Elfman did not do the score. We've got Christopher Young, who is a veteran composer in his own right. Now, of course, we are recording this show before either of us have seen Spider-Man 3. So by the time this hits you guys, we will have seen it, hopefully, and we'll have some sort of review on the next episode. So all we can talk about is the buzz that we've heard. I've heard good things. I've heard not so good things. You know, just like the last two installments, people have opinions. You know, it's either good or it's great or it's total crap. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah, the reviews so far have been very, very mixed.
And be that as it may, even if the reviews were total crap, that's not going to keep you guys away from the theater, and Sony and Columbia are counting on that, of course, because the IMAX screenings alone were sold out weeks in advance.
It looks like apparently a Chinese print that got leaked onto the BitTorrent scene, the assumption being made that the audio is in English and the subtitles are in Chinese. But yeah, apparently there's two different versions out there. One's a SVCD. I guess that's all I'll say about that.
If you want the real deal, just wait a few months. You know it'll be out before Christmas. And if you have the high-def stuff like a Blu-ray player or a Sony PlayStation 3, they've already announced Spider-Man 1 and 2 and probably 3 as well. Probably all coming out on the Blu-ray format and DVD. Once again, because it's all about the money.
And give it about a year, and they'll be releasing Spider-Man 3.5 with 2 minutes of extended footage.
Now, again, as we are recording this before we've seen Spider-Man 3, I'm kind of caught up in the Spidey hype right now, and I've come very close to buying the game, and I couldn't decide between PS3 and Xbox 360. Then I go to IGN, and I read the abysmal reviews. I mean, it got a 6 out of 10, saying it's not next-gen, It's just poorly constructed. I mean, yes, some parts of it are graphically superior. The swinging around parts of the game are great, but other than that, camera issues aplenty. It's a rental at best.
So pick it up for the Wii.
Wii! Which I don't have yet. I keep trying my local GameStop. They say, try back on this day. And I go, and then nothing happens. And like, oh, man.
Actually, I went to Burger King last week, and inside the bag was a coupon for $5 off the Spider-Man 3 game for the Wii at Toys R Us. So you can have your burger and eat it, too.
I think I'll pass.
Just like after you eat the burger.
Exactamundo.
God only knows.
Let's do quick hits, everybody. This is news for the ADD, as we all are. Disney is axing their Buena Vista branding. Oh, my gosh. Bloomberg News is reporting the Walt Disney Corporation is about to purge its entertainment divisions of the Buena Vista brand name within weeks. And this is to take advantage of the wide recognition of the Disney brand name. The affected divisions are Buena Vista Distribution, which distributes Disney feature films to theaters, and the Buena Vista Home Entertainment Division. The name dates back from 1953 when Walt Disney and his brother Roy O. Disney founded an in-house operation to sell the company's live-action and animated films to cinema owners. This is kind of funny to me because I laughed in like the early 90s when they first branched off with Touchstone Films and Hollywood Pictures so they could come out with R-rated movies, but yet it's still money going back to the Big Mouse House. I always found that funny, but now they're just trying to cash in. It's like, yes, embrace what you are. You're a family entertainment giant. We're Disney. Okay.
The UK's X-Files are finally going to be made public. After 40 years of documenting reported sightings, the British Ministry of Defense finally plans on making all of its UFO reports directly available to the public, including several eyewitness reports of a UFO landing.
So do you think that'll actually make the U.S. government, like, unpry their butt cheeks and unleash all this information?
The U.S. government's released quite a bit. I have about 12,000 pages of UFO-related documents from the FBI alone. So, yeah, I mean, my collection right now is about 30,000 documents. Well, that's quite a few.
And 90% of it is blacked out.
Oh, especially from the NSA, the National Security Agency. You're lucky if you can read 5 words per page.
Yeah, so they just did that little big FU to everybody going, well, you didn't say uncut. You just wanted us to release the information.
This is true. You know what? Now would be an interesting time for me to segue and do some little self-promotion. I actually got some U.S. government documents in the mail yesterday. Some data for my upcoming book that I'm still working on. So yeah, I'm moving forward, and I'm actually getting some good assistance from the U.S. federal government here, obtaining some documents and more information to be released at a later date.
Ooh, tease.
Gotta keep busy, gotta try to make some money, gotta be a tease.
DVD release news! Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. The Tick! Yes, that great cartoon. And it's a great comic book and a great live-action show, but that's beside the point. Go back to the cartoon. The Tick's second season, as well as Darkwing Duck, actually, coming on August 7th, and Samurai Jack Season 4 on August 28th.
We also get news that the Wii Blaster has been revealed. We all thought initially the Wii Blaster was a Nintendo-manufactured peripheral when its listing first showed up on GameStop's website a while back, but now we've all been proven wrong. The Wii Blaster is a third-party device made by Core Gamer. It looks longer and more shotgun-like than the original Nintendo Sharpshooter, and will cost $20 when it's released on June 26th.
Now, is this thing wireless?
Oh, yeah. It's basically a housing for the Wiimote. It slides right into the barrel area of this peripheral. So it's not an actual gun. It's just like an accessory to make your Wiimote into a gun.
Oh, okay. Because I have seen some other, you know, third-party designs for the Wii Blaster, and it looks pretty fun.
Everybody's looking forward to Duck Hunt on the Wii to, you know, harken back to our childhood of blowing away innocent little duckies.
If it were any other console but Nintendo, then you'd see, like, blood and guts all over the place. Be like, Gears of War Duck Hunt or something.
There is a Doom Duck Hunt mod online that I have, and yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yes. And did I mention that this Delirium Tremens beer is really good?
Don't choke on that umbrella.
Shut the hell up. Umbrella. let's talk about that wacky world of tech. Okay, everyone knows MP3s. It's like revolutionized the industry for the way to distribute your music, other people's music, whatnot, the gray areas, the controversy and everything online. But can you imagine MP3s with ads in them?
Well, let's face it. The biggest bitch about buying music online is the fact that you're buying music online. What happened to the good old days when you can just download this stuff for free? Granted, then it was illegal, but now, actually, rocker Peter Gabriel has come up with a pretty cool idea, and that is to offer free downloads of ad-supported MP3s. Now, Peter Gabriel is one of the founding investors of a new music download service called We7. That's W-E and then the number 7. And they're going to offer MP3 versions of tracks with advertising attached to the beginning of songs. 4 weeks after downloading the track, the user can then download a version without the ad. An artist will get paid by the advertisers, music lovers get the tunes for free, and advertisers get to reach a new music audience. Peter Gabriel said in a statement, We7 provides artists, even across the more experimental or minority genres, with the opportunity to build a new source of income for their music. Now, not a lot of labels have signed up so far, but so far a couple have in the U.S., and they've signed up through Spiral Frog, which is a U.S. ad-funded service. The service will use DRM to prevent redistribution of the music, and it's funded in part by the labels, both of which make it easier for the majors to sign on to We7. Right now, the company told The Times that it's yet to sign any of the major labels and will launch with only a few thousand tracks, though more should arrive in short order.
Now, I wonder if this new ad-supported MP3 system has it implemented to where maybe you can't fast-forward through the ad somehow, you know, because it's like, you know, people go, oh, I'll just fast-forward through the ad.
The potential's there, but having it at the very beginning of the track and only having it, you know, 10 seconds long, I don't think of it as much of an inconvenience. And again, with the added bonus that after you download this track for a month, I don't know exactly what that means or what it entails, you then are able to download the track without the ads.
Yeah, I like it.
So that's pretty cool. It's a win-win situation because the label still gets money from having the ad played at the beginning of the song, and the consumer gets to download it for free. You know, I really want to, you know, emphasize that point and drive it home. It's a really cool thing to do because no more, you know, 99-cent downloads over on iTunes.
Right, and I think that online model is working for the TV shows where you can get entire seasons streaming for free. You just have to sit through the ads, and, you know, well, that's a fair compromise, I think.
As do I, and I think that the more and more that the labels and the movie and television studios do this, the less rampant piracy you'll see online.
Da-da-da! In other tech news, the anime world is about to be hit with some new interesting software, speech synthesis software. Now, Steve, you got the scoop on this. Is this going to threaten my job at all?
You know, I had to laugh initially because that was the first thought that went through my mind. Was, yay for putting voice actors out of business.
Oh, boo!
This news comes to us from Anime News Network, and apparently speech synthesis software developer Animo and anime manga creation tool software developer Celsius have teamed up to develop a speech synthesis software package geared towards customers in the anime, game, and other entertainment industries. The software, which is based on Animo's speech synthesis software FreeSpeech, will generate narration and lines of dialogue according to user specifications. Developers and creators are used to spending lots of time and money on studio recording time and voice acting staff. However, especially for independent and amateur creators, using the technology of speech synthesis to create dialogue and narration on a PC could help reduce these constant costs considerably. Now, although the use of speech synthesis technology is increasing in places like customer service industry, many anime industry observers are skeptical that a software package will be able to match the detailed expressions of feelings that voice actors and actresses can provide. However, for some anime and video games, computerized, quote, navigator voices could be a specific area where the software could be helpful. And moreover, Celsius and Animo both have experience in the industry, which could help the software become a success.
Now this is something that would be available to just general consumers?
I'm assuming. It kind of sounds that way. Although they're gearing it towards the professionals at first.
Right, right. we've talked about the scary notion that technology is, you know, threatening to replace human actors on movies. You know, we'll get to this point where you've already seen it. You know, you've seen Tom Hanks and it's creepy in Polar Express. You know, you don't want it to look too real. You got to pull it back a little bit because of the eyes. It's just something about the eyes. Just, ah. But if they get to this point where they could just digitally recreate, you know, dead stars or forever keep a current star young, like Brad Pitt could be 80 years old, but he's still working and still visually looks on screen like he's 30 something, then they probably will do that. But I kind of question how good is this software? Would it really replace that sort of, you know, the expressive stuff, the emotions and all that? Of course, you know, the big thing voice actors worry about is losing work. And, you know, dubs do get outsourced to other places such as Canada and more recently the Philippines, which really confounds a lot of people because there actually are American actors in the Philippines.
Yeah, on the visual front, things have been progressing rapidly. You know, going back to a movie like The Crow, where Brandon Lee died during production, and then they superimposed his face onto a stand-in in order to finish the film. We've also seen facial replacement in movies like Star Wars Episode III. Somebody like Christopher Lee, who wasn't physically able to do a lot of the lightsaber stunts, you know, they brought in a stuntman and digitally imposed Lee's face on top of him. And then we had X-Men 3, where both Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen had their faces digitally de-aged to make them look a lot younger for a flashback. Yeah, I think the concern is there that eventually we won't need those actors anymore. You can either bring in body doubles or just do it all CG. And I think with the voice recognition software now, the voice delivery software, it's in its infancy, but it might reach a point where it's on par with what the movie industries are doing visually. And yeah, it could be the death of an entire industry as we know it.
Yeah, can you imagine just one person sitting at their laptop, writing a script, having that dialogue transposed into the different character voices, and have those the voice recognition software be able to emote in believable performances and just put everyone out of business?
That's why I have to totally agree with George Lucas's vision of films in the future. After he made Star Wars Episode III, he said, gone are the days of the multi-million dollar film budgets, although it's not entirely true because Spider-Man right now is the most expensive film ever made.
Yeah.
But I guess meaning more, you know, in the near future, where exactly what you just said, you know, digital technologies come down and the things you can do digitally, both visually and audibly, are just insane. So, yeah, I don't know if we'll still see blockbusters as we know them, because what the films are going to be able to deliver on the cheap is going to be amazing. And again, it goes back to my hope that Hollywood's listening and makes this content available cheaply for us, the consumers.
Yeah, and what do you guys think about this? Drop us a line. Give us your opinion at thebigballbroadcast@gmail.com.
And speaking of opinions, we will wrap up with a review of the Caveman pilot that apparently has not aired yet or may not ever air.
I hope not.
This review is from a guy named Derek Flint, who posted this on ain'titcoolnews.com. Some excerpts from his review say that Caveman is literally a 30-second commercial expanded into 22 minutes, but it's actually much worse than that. Just like the source material, the origin of these domesticated Cro-Magnons is never explained. I guess Encino Man is part of the prequel trilogy. We meet these humanoids already fully integrated into society and living in a Midwest apartment with a bunch of IKEA furniture. Think about it, a show based on a commercial is bound to have a lot of product placement. Now comes the most mind-numbing, stupendously stupid, and astoundingly misguided part of the fiasco. The creators have tried to infuse social satire by making the show an allegory for prejudice. They draw astoundingly lean parallels to every minority group in the world without a laugh in sight. It's jaw-droppingly horrendous, and actually makes American Dad's lunkhead topicality seem sophisticated. And I guess the biggest complaint regarding this craptacular pilot is the fact that it doesn't use any of the actors from the existing Geico commercials.
It doesn't?
It does not. This is an all-new cast.
It goes back to that word we talked about earlier in the show, abomination.
See, we get an abomination out of this after all.
They wanted to make a TV show out of the cavemen, but not the lizard? I mean, come on.
It's kind of interesting, you know, because Geico has been fortunate enough, I guess, to have two successful ad campaigns running simultaneously. And yeah, I'd have to agree. Definitely not going with the more popular of the two. We'll know just how horrible Caveman is, or isn't, if the show actually goes into production, and ABC will make that announcement on May 15th regarding its autumn schedule. So that should be about the time this podcast goes up. We should know if this will actually see the airwaves or not. Okay, so you know what? I lied. Let's wrap on a high note then, okay? As you announced last week, Cartoon Network is going to be airing a special Star Wars episode of Robot Chicken, and I know you and I are both extremely excited to check this out. If you go over to StarWars.com, you actually get to have a first-hand sneak peek look at the trailer, which looks like legitimately absolutely friggin' hilarious.
Yes, yes, and if you go back to the beginning of this show, you probably heard some audio ripped directly from that trailer.
If you're attending C4, you'll be able to see some additional footage because the guys will be there and they will be showing some clips. But the Star Wars special, Robot Chicken, will be premiering on Cartoon Network's Adult Swim on June 17th.
And that's all the show we got for yous. Listen up for the various ways to get in touch with us. And we do encourage you to do that. Give us all the feedback you can, because sometimes you get weeks like this where we're a little light on content. But that's okay, because our hearts are still here. We're still here. You're still here.
And sometimes we get lonely. We like it when people just say hi.
Yeah, exactly. So drop a line or whatever. Get in touch, okay? We love yous guys. No show next week. I'm going out of town for ASIN in Chicago. But we'll come back the week after that, and then there won't be a show for 2 weeks after that, because then I'm going into two more cons. But yeah, this is going to be like a screwed up year for Big Ball Broadcast. Yeah.
But we'll do what we can, and we're still hoping that some unnamed individuals will come through with some half-hearted promises, and we'll be able to air some filler episodes in there.
Yeah, yeah. Because we want to give you some stuff, even in the downtime. So thank you very much for downloading. This is Kyle Abear.
And this is Otherworld Steve.
See ya.
Visit our official blog page at bigballbroadcast.blogspot.com. Donations are graciously accepted and appreciated. Please email us at thebigballbroadcast@gmail.com. Additional announcements by Maria Vu. Remember to stay geeky.
That way!